Hi, good morning. Let's start with a word of prayer first. Father God, thank you very much for this day, Lord. Thank you for blessing us this opportunity to come to hear from you, Lord. I pray that that you anoint my tongue, Father God, Lord. Anything that is of you, Lord, will be spoken, Lord. Anything that is not of you, Lord, I pray will not register in the hearts of people that are listening, Father God, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, come and have your way during this morning's EMP, Father God. In your son Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Good morning, guys. Today I'll be sharing from the book of Acts. And then let's turn our Bibles to Acts 10, and we'll be reading from verses 1 to 22. Acts 10, verses 1 to 22. Now there was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, and made many charitable donations to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, "Cornelius." And he looked at him intently and became terrified and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said, "Your prayers and charitable gifts have ascended as a offering before God. Now dispatch some men to send up for a man named Simon, who is also staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house." When the angel who spoke to him left, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier from his personal attendants. And after he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. On the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the hour to pray. But he became hungry and wanted to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. And he saw an object like down to the ground. All kinds of four-footed creatures of the earth and birds of the sky. "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean." Again, a voice came to him a second time, "What God has cleansed." This happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Now, while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might mean, behold, the man who had been sent by Cornelius had asked to the Simon's house, and they appeared at the gate, asking whether Simon was staying there. While Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Three men are looking for you. Go accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them." Peter went to the men and said, "Behold, I am the one you are looking for and for which you have come." They said, "Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you." So he invited them and gave them lodging. Amen. As I was reading today's verse, what stood out for me was, and something that I want to share, was the how Cornelius and Peter were guided by God and for his divine purposes. So let's start by knowing a bit more about who was Cornelius. So Cornelius was a centurion, a commander in the Italian regiment of the Roman military. You may ask, what is a centurion? A centurion is usually considered as a non-commissioned officer who worked his way up to the ranks to take command of a group of soldiers. A legion usually have 6,000 soldiers. So a cohort is considered to be 100 soldiers.
So he probably had around 100 soldiers under his command. So a pretty powerful person in a sense, you may say. But despite being a Roman, Cornelius was a worshiper of God and respected by Jewish community. He was a generous man and gave to charity always, a devout man who prayed regularly, and someone who feared God. And one day, at one afternoon around 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock is usually a statutory Jewish hours of prayer. He was praying and he saw a vision of an angel who told him about that God has heard his prayers. The angel told Cornelius to find Peter, who was staying in a Jewish city called Joppa, at the house of Simon a tanner. Cornelius immediately sent two of his servants and a devout soldier to Joppa to find Peter to bring him back. On the other end, Peter had a vision. While Peter was pondering the vision, three men came to his house to bring him back to Cornelius. And then, as I was reading, I asked myself, why didn't the angel directly tell Cornelius what he needed to hear? Why did the angel ask Cornelius to send his servants to find Peter and then ask Peter to go to his place and then tell him what God wanted Cornelius to hear? Why go through all that trouble and all that inconvenience? But if we read in the book of Acts, this is not the only time that this has happened. If we go back to Acts 8, we read about the story of the Ethiopian eunuch returning home, and Philip was asked to go down to meet him and speak the gospel to him. In Acts 9, Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus. Jesus commanded Saul to continue into Damascus. And on the other end, Jesus sent Ananias to tell Saul what to do. Even Jesus didn't tell Saul directly what to do, but he sent Ananias. Why? I mean, why not go the direct route? Why go all these indirect routes? There could be more than one answer, but one of the obvious answers is that God wants us to be involved with this work, especially in the area of people to know Jesus and their salvation. The book of Acts is about early church history, but not only does it talk about the early church, how I see it, it also gives us a model of how a modern day church and its body. It isn't a coincidence that the Holy Spirit on three separate occasions showed how God wants this message and gospel to reach us. And that is through supernatural ways, our natural human actions. I just want to share my experience. I mean, not to the extent that I saw visions and everything, but I remember this was like quite a long time ago, maybe probably the second or third time I was leading Alpha back in my previous church. One day I was nudged in one of the Alpha weeks. I was nudged to go and pray for one of the guests and whether she wants to accept Christ or not in her life. But somehow there was a fear that stopped me. I can see the person lingering around after discussions. And usually that's a good sign because that person probably feel comfortable in that environment and probably had more questions which they wanted to know. So they were lingering around, walking around. Even though I was nudged to go and talk to that person, but I ignored. And eventually she left after staying for a while. Afterwards, I felt so bad and convicted. And I walked home instead of taking a commute. So my walk from the church back then to my place was around an hour, and I was so disappointed at myself and seriously downcast. I was talking with God, and I am him by being disobedient. But what I heard was that he told me, "I am that I am." I think it was obvious the image of Moses speaking to the burning bush. I knew what he was telling me. He was telling me, and I don't have to worry anything. But deep inside my heart, I was like, I know that you are who you are, but that doesn't change the fact that I've disappointed you. So the whole week passed and it was Alpha again. This time I was like, okay, I'm going to go and pray for her. So the time came after the video, after the discussions. I took the courage to go talk to her. And then eventually I prayed for her, and thankfully she accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. But the main thing I want to share here is that later she told me during the whole week, as she was commuting, suddenly the Holy Spirit talked to him and convicted in her heart, and she made a decision that if the next Alpha, if someone come and walk to me and ask me to accept Jesus, I will. When I heard that, I got encouraged and also emotional to see how God was working on the background. And he is in control of all. Suddenly, the fear of rejection, fear of looking like a fool when someone said no to you, to your request or prayer, all that was lifted. The burden to bring the others was no longer a burden, but became a free and joyful thing to do. God used us and physically speak the gospel, but that does not mean that he will leave us hanging. From this experience, I learned and I know that God is always working in that person's life, whether I know it or not. And it should be an encouragement for all of us to go and share about Jesus to others. Whether it be inviting them to church, to Alpha, to house church, bringing Christ to your workplace and bringing his representative should not burden anymore. But some we can enjoy naturally because we know that God is in their lives as well. God don't need us, but he wants us to be involved in his work. Another reason I see involves us to spread the gospel is that God is a relational God. I always why not some other God religion? And the first thing I always emphasize is that humanity is not a religion. God himself is relational God, and God wants a relationship with us more than anything else. For relationship to be developed, he uses human to human interactions and relationships. He wants us to be his hand, feet, and also his mouth. There's a brought up to heaven once we accept Jesus, because we have a job to do here on earth. And that is to spread his good news, spread his love, spread his care to people who have not heard about him. So let the Holy Spirit speak to us on that. And then in chapter 10, another thing I want to share is in chapter 10, usually the focus is placed on the conversion of Cornelius, his family, and all those people that were in his house. But I just want to share that there was another conversion that happened in the story. Who, you may say, who is that guy? And that conversion is of Peter's heart. Before this vision, Peter's vision was limited. And we can his answer when he was asked in the vision to kill and eat from the sheet. What did Peter say? He said, "Not so, Lord." Peter's response was absurd and yet typical of him, so sometimes of us, to his Lord. In sharing that the word Lord and the word no is an oxymoron. The only legitimate answer to a Lord is a yes. Not sure if you've noticed, but Peter has this habit of telling Jesus no all the time. We can refer to Matthew chapter 16, verse 22, John 13, verse 8. Some change. Compare Peter's response to God, where he told him no, with Cornelius' response to the angel. What is it, Lord? They were two different reactions and two different hearts that we can were reflected here. Initial reflections. On that day, this was more responsive to God than Peter was. Why I say that? Because God spoke the same thing three times. Peter said no to God three times. Peter's understanding of God and pretty much put God in a box. Good thing was Peter eventually got the idea that God is trying to tell him something, but he didn't fully understood what it was. Even though he didn't fully understand, but he obeyed. And then when he arrived at Cornelius' house, he understood the vision and the heart of God. The vision was not about, but was about people. May I invite Mark to prepare for leadership? And through this chapter, that his love and salvation is not exclusive to some nation or a race. And Peter understood this eventually and shared the gospel to a Gentile family for the first time and witnessed the Holy Spirit working in their lives. And that changed Peter's heart, and he realized God's heart. Sometimes pride, anger, hatred, and exclusive mentality can come into our hearts and stop us from spreading the gospel think doesn't deserve it. But that is not the heart of God. God wants all nations, all people of all status to be saved. One of the Charles Spurgeon's quotes says this beautifully when he's talked about the heart of man and the situation of sharing the gospel. He said, "Be not proud of race, face, place, or grace." Is there something that is stopping you to go and spread the good news of Jesus to others? It could be a thought of, "Oh, well, I'm not qualified. I'm not good enough." Or a fear of looking like a fool or being rejected flat out. I just want to use this story to share that I hope it encourages you that as long as we are doing our part, God is working behind the scenes to write a beautiful story. In the end, it's not us who dictates the outcome, but God does. If God has placed someone in your heart, but for some of Jesus' love and salvation, maybe it's time to go to the feet of Jesus and ask him to reveal a reason why. What is the cause of my unwillingness to people around me? Let us spend some time to reflect and ask God to reveal his heart to us.
Jesus, Jesus, precious Lord, none on the earth, no heaven, that I have found more beautiful. You are my treasure, my great reward. I just want to move your heart. What I do, just want to stand up. Pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all to you. Jesus, Jesus, my offering, all my ambitions, my hopes, my dreams, and here's my life, Lord, a sacrifice, all just to bless. I just want to move your heart. It's all I want to do. I just want to stand in awe and pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all to you. I just want to move your heart. Get caught within your gates, right here in your presence, God. Is where I want to stay, or just in your house. Waste my hours and my days on you. Is it a fragrance? Then I'll pour my oil out. Is it a life laid down? Then I hear I give my vow. Is it a song I sing? And here's every melody. Just tell me what moves you. Tell me what moves you. Is it a fragrance? Then I'll pour my oil out. Is it a life laid down? Here I give my vow. Is it a song I sing? Just tell me what moves you. Tell me what moves you. I just want to move your heart. It's all I want to do. I just want to stand in awe. Pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all to you. I just want to move your heart. Get caught within your gates, right in your presence, God. Is where I want to stay. And my days on you, on to you. I just want to move your heart. It's all I want to do. I just want to stand in awe. Pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all to you. All to you. I just want to move your heart. It's all I want to do. I just want to stand in awe and pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all to you. All to you.
Father God,
show us, Father God, show us, Lord, any person that you want us to go and share this love of yours to them. Father God, I pray that you'll use us, Father God, in your grand plan, in your grand scheme, Father God, that we can be used by you, Lord. Unconditionally, we can be used by you, Father God, Lord. That, yes, and when we look back, we're able to see a very beautifully painted picture, Father God. Lord, I pray that anything that is trying to stop us, Lord, I pray that those things will Lord Jesus, give us the heart, spirit to go and speak to people who you are, Father God. Jesus' name. Okay, let's turn our attention to our community prayers. So let's lift up our brothers and sisters who are going through cancer, chemotherapy, radiation, surgery. Let's lift them up. Let's go to the next slide. Let's pray for people that are ill and also people that need to know Jesus. Let's pray that there'll be divine opportunities to speak to these people about who Jesus is. Let's turn to the next slide, please. Let's pray for people that are going through infirmities. Next slide, please. Let's lift up our brothers and sisters who are looking for jobs at this time. Next slide. Let's go to our mission focus. That lifts up SP New York, Ruth, Jess, and Kelly. Also lift up North Korea and pray for open doors for ministry, missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia. And also let's lift up the persecuted church, especially in the Middle East.
Let's continue to lift up SP and all the weekend gatherings, the Sunday service, the well, SP kids, worship, hospitality, SP youth, spin and spill services and activities, and all other meetings. Let's continue to pray for the pregnant ladies in our church. Let's lift them up that their health and their baby's health will be good and will be also having and deliveries in the future. And finally, let's lift up Hong Kong. Let's pray that continue this COVID situation will be stable, and also pray for the Holy Spirit to be working in this city and, of course, working through us in this city, that we'll be able to make a positive impact. God, thank you very much for today. Thank you for this story of Cornelius and Peter, telling us that you are working beautifully in the background, Father God, and we don't have to burden ourselves on trying to achieve or do things, Father God, because you are in control of everything, Lord. I pray that you, and I also want to thank you, Father God, that you enjoy working with us. You enjoy us being your hands, feet, and mouth, Father God. Lord, I pray that you continue to give us opportunities today, tomorrow, and over the whole new other week, Father God, that we'll be able to speak and share your love to people around us, Father God. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us this opportunity. Continue to fill us up with your Holy Spirit, Father God, throughout the day. But thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Have a blessed Saturday and the rest of the weekend. Enjoy and see you guys. Bye-bye.